News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. You have questions about your health, and Memorial Health System has the answers. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, ask the expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Ask the Expert. I'm your host, Ray Lytle, and I am joined by a woman who is practically the co-host of the show. She's on so often. Dr. Nicole Florence joining us, an internal medicine physician and a pediatrician with Memorial Physician Services, Cocomill, part of Memorial Health System, and Dr. Brandon Maddox, a dentist and owner of Maddox Dentistry in Springfield. Hello, Dr. Florence. Good to see you again.
Hello.
How are you?
I am great. How are you?
We are going to be discussing dentistry or dental health today, right?
Exactly.
So we got a good guest.
I had to phone a friend.
Yes.
I couldn't do this one.
Go ahead and give us a proper introduction to Dr. Maddox.
Well, Dr. Maddox, who is amazing and is actually our family dentist as well, we thought it would be a good idea to talk about a few things on just preventative care, dental health, how it affects our health, and some of the principles that we need to remind ourselves of. So we thought it would be a great way to get some good information out to folks.
I love it. So Dr. Maddox, welcome to the program. It is great to see you.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here. We're going to talk about dental care. And let me, are there people that just don't, I mean, they forget about their teeth, they don't care about their teeth? Are there people that go through life without getting their teeth taken care of?
Well, if you think, I don't know what the current exact stats are, but less than half of the population sees a dentist on a regular basis, and I think the statistics are even lower, like less than 30% that actually come and see us on a regular basis.
That is crazy.
It is.
I mean, is it, what are your thoughts, you guys? Why do people forget or intentionally not go to a dentist?
Well, everybody has priorities. The largest or the most common thing that brings somebody to see me that hasn't seen me in a long time is pain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
By the time something hurts, it's pretty bad. The first segment here, in us talking about prevention goes a heck of a long way to prevent pain, to prevent infection, and just to promote overall great health.
I will admit, I'm one that going to the dentist, which I told Dr. Maddox the first time I saw him, not my favorite thing to do, And so I know mine was a little fear and just not being comfortable, feeling vulnerable. So it's really important to find someone that you're comfortable with, because now I'm a lot better at going more consistently because I am so comfortable there. So
you're saying that people, and you mentioned earlier, less than 30% go to the dentist regularly. What is regular? Like, how many times should we be getting our teeth checked?
Well, typically we talk to you about 6 month checkups, and that's kind of what the standard is.
Oh God, I'm delinquent. I'm very delinquent. All right.
We'll see you on Monday.
I'm in the 70.
But it's kind of patient specific. I mean, typically we tell you every 6 months. Some of our patients need a little bit extra care, so you're in our office more often. Some patients have histories of periodontal disease and treatment. We'll see them every 3, maybe 4 months.
Is it genetic? I mean, we talk a lot about, like Dr. Florence and I will talk about things like heart disease and cancers and certain things where if your family has a history of it, you have to be aware that it's something that could happen to you. Is it same with?
Well, I mean, genetics affects everything.
Okay.
The makeup of your saliva, your anatomy, sometimes even your mental attitude might be attached to your genetics.
No, I'm getting that from my daughter, I know.
But good oral health care goes a long way to preventing a lot of things. We have several, patients will do all the things right and still have something go wrong. And conversely, you'll have everybody that does everything wrong and somehow manages to come out okay.
Once again, I think you're talking about me.
I don't know. I haven't seen your mouth, Ray.
I know. I guess I'm one of those people where when I do go to the dentist, and I will, I'll forget for a year or two, and throughout my life, the dentist always go, "Wow, your teeth look really good," and I'm blessed. But it's because brushing every day and flossing and all those different things that they always, that sort of stuck. Actually showing up every 6 months, I'm going to have to make that stick, because when you say that, I honestly didn't know that it was every 6 months.
It's 6 months typically, but at the same time, A patient that has excellent oral health care, they may see me on a 12-month basis. It just depends. I mean, it's very patient-specific, but, you know, typically it's every 6 months.
I know that I am very meticulous, very almost obsessive about making sure to brush my teeth. I have a toothbrush in the shower. I have a toothbrush on the sink. I used to have a toothbrush here when I was here every day. I had one in my desk. So, I mean, some people just have to brush.
Uh-huh.
What is a couple questions, two of them. Number one, what is too much? What is not enough? And are we supposed to be using special kind of toothbrushes?
Yes. To all of- I mean, there is too much, but usually what too much ends up being from is too hard. Somebody who brushes too hard, you're putting too much pressure into it. You know, typically every time you eat, anytime you put something in your mouth that can coat your teeth, you want to get it off of there. So after meals and snacks and things, so as much as, and sorry here, I keep raising up.
Oh, that's all right.
So, you know, after meals and stuff, you want to brush to get that material off of there. Within that first 20 minutes is the best time to get everything cleaned up. But, you know, a lot of times everybody at work can't get there after lunch. But, you know, not enough is, you know, if you're not brushing every day, that's not enough. Once a day is not enough. You know, twice a day is typically what we have everybody shoot for, and once a day flossing. But you can cause some issues with brushing too much in terms of gingival, a gum tissue recession. You know, the gum tissue sort of slides down on the edge of the tooth a little bit, makes things more sensitive. So you want to typically the pressure you can put on a toothbrush with the between your forefinger or your index finger and your thumb is about as hard as you need to push to brush.
Hmm.
Stuff like that.
What about toothbrush? Because I guess that's the other thing. You know, when you go to the store, there's so many brands and types and soft and
there's manual ones,
and
a little hit the button and it's automatic.
Right, uh-huh. Right. So what's the best toothbrush?
The one that you use. I mean, the companies,
right.
I mean, it's if it's got bristles and you use it right, it's going to work for you. We recommend soft bristled brushes simply because most people brush too hard. I recommend electric style brushes a lot simply because they have timers built into them.
Sure.
Most people should be in there for about 2 minutes at a time. And for those of us, including myself, that knows what I'm supposed to do, who ends up maybe being in there only for about 30 seconds when you actually time yourself, 2 minutes seems like an eternity, but 2 minutes is when you're supposed to be there. So the timing of the electric brushes is great. But any of the versions that are out there, used right, do well.
I love the one in my shower. I love it. I know people, you're probably thinking I'm crazy. But I have a toothbrush in my shower, and I'll put, you know, stuff in my hair. I'll lather it up, and I want I want it to sit for a while. And I'll brush my teeth while I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or just little things like that. I just, if you use conditioner or something, brush my teeth. And
so it's not with the conditioner.
No. With actual the green tooth. I don't know, some type of green toothpaste that my wife buys, which I know is. I know some people are going, "Oh my God, that's crazy!" But it relaxed me. I don't do the full 2 minutes in the shower. You know, mm-hmm. I have the little hit the button. You know, goes to the teeth and good to go. And but it does make you. You know, you feel.
You'd be surprised how long you're probably in there.
Yeah,
brushing while in the shower.
Well, I have a lot of body. I'm in the shower a long time. I know that. But, you know, it's one of those things. Brushing teeth sort of relaxes me. I'm sure there's other people that feel the same way.
At least one or two.
Teeth. Yeah, right? I mean, you gotta, anyway, is there, what I'm getting at is, should we take time to brush wherever? I mean, is it okay to keep a toothbrush in your car? Is it okay to, you know.
At work,
yeah.
That's a good place.
Sure. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, you keep one in the desk drawer, like you said. Who knows what's in your desk drawer?
Right.
So, you know, make sure you clean the thing off before you use it.
Right now, nothing.
But any brushing's better than none.
Right.
I mean, brushing anywhere you can is a good idea.
What about, let me ask Dr. Florence. If your brush gets dirty and stuff, are you, maybe, I don't know which one of you guys I'd ask. But like, how often do we change the brushes?
Well, and that's
stuff?
That's a great question for Dr. Maddox.
That's a test for it's a test for Dr. Lawrence.
I was going to punt. You know, usually in our household, we try to switch them at least every 6 weeks. We try to keep new brushes, or we at least try to feel the bristle to see if it's kind of what do you call frayed?
Mm-hmm.
See, like if it's too soft and it's just not applying enough pressure, but. you know, we've got a lot of people in our house, so I just keep getting a new toothbrushes every six weeks.
If you look at the bristles and it looks like...
Throw away, put new ones up, you know.
If you look at the bristles and it looks like you've driven over it a few times with your car...
It's a pretty good...
Get a new one.
Well, you know, they make the ones that have their colored... They have a different color on the tip, whether it's green or red or blue or whatever. And when the color starts to diminish... You realize it's time to get a new, and I forgot who makes those, but I'm sure there's several people. But that's what my wife does. She goes, when the color's gone, let me know and I'll get new toothbrushes.
So is there a time frame?
Yeah.
I mean, is there a time frame?
We typically tell you 3 months.
It's
just a rule of thumb.
Okay.
You know, somebody that's brushing harder is going to do it.
And I asked Dr. Florence this because at what point does it start getting bacteria and stuff? And at what point does that happen to where you're like, oh, I really shouldn't be putting that in my body?
Well, and I'm sure that probably depends on how well... Where you keep it, and how well you rinse and clean it, correct?
Does toothpaste have something that cleans a brush on it? Do either of you guys know?
Well, I mean, toothpaste itself is a cleaning agent.
Okay,
so but it's not a disinfectant per se. So you know, even after you're done, I mean, your mouth is full of bacteria.
Right.
So just using it in your mouth and leaving it out to sit, you need to clean it, hot water, that sort of thing.
Right.
Some patients like to put it, you know, people put them in their dishwasher or whatever on occasion.
I hear some people just run it underneath the hot shower water.
Well, I mean, that's
great. Yeah.
And that's fine.
But I'm saying, like, when it comes to bacteria and stuff, if as long as you're using the toothpaste, you're not going to get any kind of, you know, God knows what's in a toothbrush.
You know what? My rule of thumb is just for some of my patients, because we have, like, a lot of recurrent colds and strep throat and those types of things. I just tell folks, don't put it all in one big cup where the bristles are... Right. All the toothbrush heads are touching. Like, a lot of families have this kind of community holder. So my big thing is keep them separate, if anything. Not only keep them clean, but keep them separate.
And if you go through a period of time where you are having colds in the home or strep throat, that sort of, then that's the time to change your brush.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I'm just getting over a thing myself. It's actually a good time to change my brush.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I'll take a break. We'll come back. We're talking about dental health. Our guest today on Ask the Expert, Dr. Nicole Florence, an internal medicine physician and a pediatrician with Memorial Physician Services, Cocomill, part of Memorial Health System, and Dr. Brandon Maddox, a dentist and owner of Maddox Dentistry in Springfield. We'll be back with more in just a moment. It's Ask the Expert.
Welcome back to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX, brought to you by Memorial Health System. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, ask the expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
We are back. It's Ask the Expert. I guess we can call it Ask the Dentist today. We have Dr.
Who is an expert.
Yes, we have Dr. Nicole Florence and Dr. Brandon Maddox. Dr. Brandon Maddox is a dentist. In fact, he is Dr. Florence's dentist, which I think is really cool because I'm hearing all kinds of stories during the commercials. We were talking a little bit about brushing our teeth and how important it is, and I want to get to toothpaste. Are there different types and one that we should be using other than a different one, or are they all pretty much the same?
They're all very similar. Again, for all of those that want to market through me and to sell their product, I'm not very good. If it has fluoride, it's probably going to be a pretty good product. You know, of course, we always say look for the ADA seal, but that's just something as a standard to kind of go by. But, you know, there's several toothpastes out there that are for basic brushing. There's some out there, you know, with the cosmetic rage, the whitening type stuff. Most of those are either loaded with extra abrasives, or they have some pigmentation type aspects to them. But as long as it has fluoride in it, you're probably not going
to. How important is fluoride to our dental health?
Absolutely, absolutely important.
What is fluoride? Does what?
Fluoride in the mouth on a topical application just helps to strengthen the hard structure of the tooth.
Okay.
So you hear everybody talk about enamel. Fluoride helps to strengthen the enamel. It helps to recalcify it. From a systemic aspect, meaning you ingest it, especially for our kids, what the fluoride does in the proper amounts helps to develop the teeth in a much stronger fashion. So we can tell when a child comes to us that has grown up in a home that has not had fluoride available to it.
And you can get it, but it's in regular drinking water, too.
It is. It's in drinking water, and most public water systems have fluoride, but you have to remember a lot of families live out in the country. They might be on well water,
so they
may not have a fluoride source. So for those families, we do recommend getting drinking water with fluoride in some fashion. That's more widely available. You know, we used to actually supplement fluoride in kids. When they didn't have that.
As a pediatrician, you would, you guys would
They would have fluoride sources that we would give them through a certain age to make sure that they were getting a proper source to develop the structure of the tooth as he was talking
about. Because I always hear, it's the same conspiracy theorists that believe in other things. They're putting fluoride in our water and damaging us. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know what fluoride's doing that would damage us. It seems to be something good.
It's been a good thing. I think it's been a very good thing. I don't think, well, and you've been, you know, looking at teeth probably more so than I do. But there was a time those well water kids would come in and you could see that, you know, at the age 4 or 5, you're like, wow, you didn't get any. I mean, their teeth were soft. They were gray. They would have a lot of dental issues. And so I think it's made a big difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
Is that why we don't brush too hard, too? Does that affect the enamel as well?
Right. I mean, if you brush too hard, you're actually abrading the tooth surface. So, in effect, you're sort of sanding everything away if you're attacking it in a harder fashion than you should. So that's why we'll recommend soft bristle brushes, not brushing too hard. Electric brushes often will stop if you're brushing too hard. So somebody that can't get it with a hand, just a regular brush, we'll recommend the electric brush to help them in that regard. But, yeah, that's a reason we don't want you to brush too hard.
And we also people floss. Well, not all people, but a lot of us floss. And
Cam Newton flosses. Did you see that football game?
And yes,
was that great?
Like in between possessions, he's flossing.
I love it. He's flossing his teeth. Yeah.
It's something we should all still be doing, right? There's no new research on flossing.
Well, you know that whole thing that just came out recently.
Something about flossing's unnecessary or something.
They just said there wasn't enough scientific or conclusive evidence out there that suggested
that
flossing
part.
Helped you. But seriously, when something's common sense, why study it is my theory on it. So, of course, there's not that much. In fact, they came to talk to me in the office, and the first thing I told them, I said, well, just handle it this way. Get in my chair. And we'll see what comes out. We'll floss your teeth and see what comes out. And when you see what comes out after you've flossed, it just makes sense. You're a cleaner person when it's done.
You can't have all that gunk in your teeth just sitting there, right? I mean, that's what causes...
it's plaque. Everybody's heard of plaque. Plaque has bacteria in it.
Yeah, it smells. That's what smells, right?
Yep. And if the bacteria is not removed, bacteria continues to live, creates all the bad stuff, eats away at your enamel, and then... my kids' college funds become taken care of.
So flossing, still do it every day.
Yes,
I have. Now I should ask you this, a personal question, but I think it'll affect a lot of people. I have one of these pick, not a pick. It's a. It looks like the device that they use when I get my teeth cleaned.
Okay.
And I just sort of take it.
The flosser with the handle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do
you actually have a scaler?
Yeah, it's got the metal end.
Oh, okay. A scaler. Uh-huh. Okay.
And I just sort of stick it in between my teeth and pull anything, especially after salads and stuff like that, pull stuff out.
You just have to be careful with that. Right. I mean, you can damage things.
I've never put an eye out or hurt my gums or anything. I've been very fortunate.
No, but it's that's a very effective way of cleaning things out done properly.
Okay, good. I'm like, oh man, am I not getting enough? I know I pull stuff out, but you know, especially after like steaks and things like that,
right?
You start to see things come out, and I guess you know what you're doing. As long as stuff's coming out, you're getting it all.
Well, you're accomplishing something,
right?
whether you're getting it all or not, I don't know.
So we come up with two. You brush your teeth twice a day is what we're looking at. You know, fluoride is good. In our toothpaste, change your brushes. We came up with changing our brushes every, what was the answer again?
Approximately 3 months.
Every 3 months. And doctor visits every 6 months. See, we're learning something today.
Yes, we are.
I want to get on to talking about the dental visits specifically. Why are we talked earlier about people not having time or forgetting or not prioritizing it. But why are people, why are they so... afraid or just dread going to the dentist's office?
I don't know. It's a ball. I don't know what people have a problem with.
But it is. There are people that have fear.
Well, I mean,
going to the dentist
in the past. I guess to some degree, depending on where you're at in the future too. But you know, it's that people associate pain with a dental visit,
right?
And so there's a lot of anxiety associated with that. And
is it because they wait to go until it's going to be painful?
I think when they have pain, they feel like they can't get around it anymore,
right.
So they can't avoid us. But up until that point, pain is what keeps them from coming in. They're worried about having pain as part of the process. And, you know, well done, dental care isn't painful.
Yeah, and they even if you're going to drill in there, there always seems to be a shot that, you know.
And we try very hard, all of us, all of my colleagues, try very hard to make it so that that's as painless as possible.
You know what it is? It would help you guys out if they made the Novocaine or whatever you put in there, if they made the needles a little smaller. You know what, right, Dr. Florence? They come at you with it.
You know what? I just close my eyes. Oh. When he comes at me, I just close my eyes. I don't even want to see it.
I mean, they are giant needles. They're giant needles.
They're not giant. I've seen giant needles, and these are not giant needles.
I mean, they're not like the size they use to numb an elephant, but these are pretty big needles. We're going to talk more about that when we come back, you guys. Also, wisdom teeth. If you're like so many of us, you had wisdom teeth, I want to talk about those as well. It's going to come after the news here. We're doing Ask the Expert on WTAX.
You're listening to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
We are back. It's Ask the Expert on WTAX. I am Ray Lytle, your host, along with Dr. Nicole Florence. Of course, she's an internal medicine physician and pediatrician with Memorial Physician Services, Kokomil, part of Memorial Health System. And she has brought with her today Dr. Brandon Maddox, a dentist and owner of Maddox Dentistry in Springfield. And we're talking about dental health. And we're talking about how, some people, for whatever reason, set it aside. And I'll tell you, the thing I learned was the fluoride. I didn't know that there are the well water thing and no fluoride and children who aren't getting enough when young. That of all the things we talked about today, that was probably
important.
The most shocking to me. Yeah.
Very important. Well, because we're doing so well with it now.
Right.
Supplementing, people don't think about it as much.
You take it for granted.
You know, you totally take it for granted. So.
And I also didn't think about the people who like live in the country or something that aren't on like a city-based
exactly.
water.
Well, the other thing you have to watch too, even on city water, some people have gotten so paranoid about what's in their water, or they're filtering everything out through their home systems, or they only drink bottled water. Unless you specifically get water that
has
fluoride in
exactly.
it, you've just taken it out of your...
So you're saying that this is important for people in Chatham, because we all have, you know, filters on our water. It's not taking out the fluoride, is it?
Well, some do, some don't.
Or if you buy certain water systems like you spoke about, or if you buy water at the store, it might say distilled or sterile.
Right.
But it may not have the fluoride specifically. For instance, there's a kid's bottled water that's
right.
actually called Little Kids that specifically has fluoride in the
water
bottle.
Okay.
So you have to really look at the labeling to make sure you're getting exactly what you want. The other issue is we probably have a lot of people that just don't drink water. So they're probably
right.
not
a
getting a full
don't.
Source. Yeah. You know, even a lot of kids, you know, when you ask them what they drink, you know, well, I drink some juice or I might have some milk, but they're not really drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and depending on what the parents are cooking with or what their source is, they still may not be getting adequate supplies.
So getting the fluoride we get from toothpaste is not enough. We do need water and things
there's
like that.
As in development, getting it in your system
is young
crucial.
Children especially.
And
right.
once your permanent teeth are in, it's not as important.
Oh, okay.
But as you're developing, it's crucial.
What is let me talk about wisdom teeth. I mean, 'cause that's a common thing that people have to get checked.
Mm-hmm.
What we all have them. Or most of us have them. You know, what's the background of wisdom teeth? There's a whole story behind them.
The majority of us have them. Not everybody does.
Right.
Not everybody has all of them. You know, one could talk about evolutionary changes, whatever. But
right.
from the standpoint of our size as human beings in general, in the mouth, there's not room for the most part for those to come in and then be adequately cleaned. If they come in partially and you don't take care of them, then they're going to be a source of decay or infection. In addition, some of them are often in positions where they're not going to come in, and that eruptive force, them trying to come in but not having the ability to do so, can cause other issues. So, for instance, a tooth that's impacted and it's pushing on another tooth that's in front of it, it may cause that tooth to resorb because of normal processes, and then you end up having issues with two teeth because of that one.
I had one that was underneath the gums, mm-hmm. and it was growing sideways mm-hmm. this way.
Right, that's impacted.
And so it got my back tooth here, and that was pushing on the tooth in front of it, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the regular dentist did not take that, or the dentist didn't take that out. I had to go to, what's the next, what is this?
An oral surgeon.
Okay. So are there wisdom teeth that dentists take out, or do oral surgeons have to take out all of them?
It all depends on their comfort level.
Okay.
For instance, myself, I do minor oral surgical procedures.
Oh, so you can get out a wisdom tooth.
I can get out an erupted wisdom tooth.
Oh, okay.
If a wisdom tooth's impacted and it's beyond my comfort level, and the patient's going to be treated in a much better fashion at an oral surgeon's office, then an oral surgeon would handle that.
All right. So if it's – do some people have them come in and they're okay?
Uh-huh. That's what I was going to ask. Does everyone need them taken out?
Not everybody. Some are in and have space. And my theory or my rule is if you keep them clean, you don't have to lose them if they're in. Now, an impacted wisdom tooth down the road could be a potential focus of infection. Sometimes there's – the development of the tooth involves what's called a follicle around it, and those are rapidly growing cells. And on occasion, that wisdom tooth that hasn't come in will create a cyst or something of that nature
right.
down the road. And if you're 60 at that point in time, your healing, your quality of healing is slower than if you were 18. So typically, most of my patients don't get out of high school with impacted wisdom teeth. If they look like they're going to come in and they're going to have space, a lot of times we'll give them that opportunity. But for the most part, many patients have their wisdom teeth removed, but it's not a given for everybody.
I think I had one removed when I was around 18, 19. And then I remember my last one, I was probably in my 30s when I got
mine pulled when I was in my 30s. I only had three.
Mm-hmm. I was going
to
say, I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
So they had to be taken out. Mm-hmm. So
I could have had I don't know, maybe I got one that came in. Yes.
We're not as wise, right?
We don't have that amount of wisdom as others.
Right,
so
right.
It's normal if to have three or two, or we don't all get four, right?
Not necessarily. Yeah, everybody's different.
And the impacted ones are painful. Is that the ones that, I guess any of them can be painful if they're broken and infected or whatever.
Well, yeah, and an impacted wisdom tooth is probably the one that you would have the most likelihood to have discomfort with when it had to be removed.
Right.
Because it's more involved surgically to get it out.
When we talk about teeth coming out, I've had a couple teeth that like they've broken, and that's mm-hmm. the worst. I mean, they've broken, and one, as soon as it broke, I was angry, and I went to the dentist, and I'm like, the tooth broke, but it was fine. It wasn't infected. It didn't even hurt. And the dentist gave me the options, and, you know, is that another one broke, and I waited and said, oh, it'll be fine. I got time. And eventually it started you can explain to me what was going on, but it changes colors and the pain. And, I mean, there's a lot. What happens when our tooth breaks like that and all those changes happen?
Well, if you see the change in color, it's usually because the nerve tissue inside the tooth has died.
Right.
So there's no longer, you know, living tissue in the tooth, and then that darkening is just a result of that. When the nerve dies, the blood supply is no longer there either, and the bacteria can just go crazy. So then you get infected.
Right,
the tooth abscesses, and then that's when it starts to, you know, hurt really bad.
So when we're given antibiotics before going to the dentist, it's to kill or it's to heal all of the bacteria, right? Or to heal all the infection.
You're in a situation where you know you're infected.
Right.
Yes.
I just remember for one of my surgeries, the one that was had turned black. They had me take like a V-cillin or whatever. It was years ago.
And you were having the tooth removed?
Yeah. They said take this. I had to take it so many days uh-huh. before I went in and got it removed.
And that's just a preventive because, you know, again, we're working in the mouth. The bacteria is rampant in the mouth. We have one of the dirtiest mouths out there as a species. but you take the antibiotics ahead of time so that the environment in which the tooth is being taken out is as healthy as possible.
And then root canals.
Uh-huh.
People go through those because what causes the root canal?
Well, so I forgive me, staff. My girls are, if they haven't ditched my office yet, are listening. So, hi, girls. But they've heard this explanation a million times. So,
okay.
So, you know, the tooth has plumbing, basically.
Right.
And in a root canal situation, that plumbing has been affected in some fashion. Now bacteria has gotten into that the plumbing, and we've got to clean it out. And a root canal is going in and removing everything that's in there within the pipes, so to speak, to clean that out so there's no longer a source of infection. If there's enough tooth there, I mean, you would be doing this if the tooth was savable. And then you get in there, remove that material out, seal it, and then you can restore the tooth back up.
Well, so that's what you're not taking out a root, right? You're not taking out the root. You're basically saving it to
Correct.
Save the tooth.
You're saving all the hard structure. So the root itself and what's remaining of the tooth above the gum line and bone is staying the way it is. We're just going in to take care of the inside.
So the stuff you're taking out is what?
Nerve tissue, right. Blood vessels. It's stuff.
So, but the nerve is still there, and then you replace.
You've removed that in the root canal procedure.
Okay, all right, you've removed it.
Uh-huh.
And then you fix the tooth to where it stays, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Huh. And what's the stuff that you guys use to replace, like if tooth busted in half and you, how do you make the rest of the tooth?
If you're saving it after you've done a root canal?
Well, yeah, like I've had I forgot which one it is. One of my teeth, I got punched.
Okay.
When I was in high school, and it broke my tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and they put something over where it was busted up, and it made a whole tooth.
So you can sometimes we'll do a bonding procedure where you use a tooth-colored filling material.
Right.
Say the corner's gone of a front tooth.
Right.
And we'll build that corner back up and make it look like you never lost your tooth.
Yeah.
Huh? Or depending if you've broken it far enough, then we'll have to do what's called crown it or cap it. People will typically refer to
and then what you put something over the tooth.
Correct. Okay. You're basically in a 360 degree fashion. You're covering the whole thing with something that's shaped like your tooth was before.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He makes them in the office.
You
make
the caps?
I have one.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Really?
And yeah, I have one. Yeah, I have a lot.
If I smile, Dr. Maddox might. But if I smile, yeah. you could not tell which tooth is has got it. I mean. I gave you a hint, but
yeah.
When I smile, you...
When I can't tell because of this wood thing.
I'll smile.
So if I had to guess, it would be what I call number 8, but it's your right front middle tooth.
I think that's the one, yeah. Because I forget it so
but
long
that's
ago.
Me. I'm OCD. I do that stuff all the time.
And and I've only had to get it like one... I think I had it happened when I was 15 or 16, mm-hmm. and I had to get it redone when I was like 33 or 34.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fine. Like, I can't even tell... And because I brush, my teeth are wide enough to where it sort of blends in. You know, I don't have to.
No, and that looks very nice. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Just because I can
right.
tell where it's at.
But you could still, you know, you could tell where they shaped it nice. It looked, they took a picture the first time
right.
of exactly what my mouth looked like. And but I was wondering, I mean, do I have cement in my mouth or what is it that they're molding to do that?
The crown itself is porcelain.
Right.
And that's the tooth color material that's on it. Sometimes we'll do what's called porcelain fused to metal, so there's a little metal coping underneath it, and the porcelain's built over the top of that. In my case, my crowns are all porcelain. There's no metal in there.
Okay.
Not because I have an aversion to metal, but I use CAD-CAM technology to create my crowns in the office. So they're all porcelain, so there's no gray.
And that's newer technology now.
It's newer. It's been out there for quite a while, but it's newer. I've had my equipment for about 6 years. It's been out there longer than that.
How long away before... You have some kind of a 3D printing machine or something where you put stuff in it, it just prints the new.
That's
what
it was.
Well,
this
oh, is, that's
yeah.
what it is?
It's,
well, oh, it's, that's
it's,
cool.
Well, it's kind of like that, only uh-huh. it's subtraction.
Yeah.
Because the
really?
Porcelain has to be in its final state first, and then
right.
little burrs come in and remove everything else.
Oh, really? So that's what you're, that you guys do that now?
Mm-hmm.
He took a picture
Ryan?
Of my tooth, and then when it had to be replaced, basically I got to watch it mold this
oh,
piece of
wow.
porcelain. And then they put that was my crown that they put. Yeah,
oh, I want to
cool.
break it. I want to break a tooth just to see that.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
I'm sure I'll break another one. I'll invite you over.
Can I have some popcorn
right,
or something?
Right, we'll do a whole show.
Dr. Maddox, I know you have to leave because you have tooth things to do. Thank you. I've learned a lot today.
I appreciate your time.
Dr. Florence is going to stick around. We're going to talk a little bit about infection and how tooth or you know, dental problems could lead to other problems in the body. We'll do that when we get back. It's Ask the Expert. Thank you so much, Dr. Maddox.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ask the Expert on New.
We're back with our expert, Dr. Nicole Florence, who, by the way, what a great topic today with dental health.
Wasn't that fun?
Dr. Maddox was great. I want to talk to you a little bit about infection, though. The infection in the mouth and
I've read that it leads to, or it could lead to problems in other places in the body. Can you explain that to me?
So this is basically what happens. There are so many types of bacteria in your mouth. It also, your mouth has this great blood supply. So when that bacteria can become overwhelming, it can be absorbed into the blood system and actually travel to other areas of your body.
Oh, really?
So the concern is, especially for folks that may have other medical illnesses, people who may have heart valve issues, if bacteria is deposited on that heart valve, it can make the valve not work as well, or it can even get stuck where it starts shooting bacteria through your system.
So the bacteria is in the blood.
The bacteria can get in the blood.
Okay.
It can stick itself into your heart valve. It can stick yourself onto a joint. It can stick yourself. It can stick itself just about anywhere. So it's really important to make sure that you are taking care of your oral hygiene and your oral health.
So if we if we're susceptible to infection.
Exactly.
And you've got infection in your mouth.
It can spread just about anywhere.
Right.
You know, for some folks that have recurrent sinus infections, sometimes the first thing
unfortunately,
I do is
I'm one
let's
of them,
look
yeah.
at your teeth.
Right.
Let's make sure you have good dental care, because that might be the source of why you keep getting sick.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess it's real close, right? Your teeth are close to your sinuses.
And there's even some newer, you know, recommendations for those folks who are getting joint replacements, you know, making sure that you've got good oral hygiene prior to the joint replacement. You know, there have been some, you know, studies that may suggest that if you have bacteria in your mouth, it may somehow sometimes find its way down to that joint and compromise the joint itself.
So infection can get into the new fake joint. I say
yes.
fake, but the replaced
yes.
joint.
Right, right.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
You know, it's something that we really, really need to pay attention to. And like you said, people, you know, as he described, they don't go to their dentist. And, you know, maybe it's something we really need to do better off, not for even ourselves, but getting our kids to go more frequently. Because I'm sure if I went more frequently as a kid, I probably would not have all the hangups that I have now.
And you've discussed this several times
right.
in the show. The things that we teach our children when they're young, that they form habits. And
they form habits, and it makes a huge difference in their overall health.
I blame my mother because she wasn't a jogger for my weight.
Right.
If she would have just jogged or worked out a little bit. No, but it is the things that we, you know.
Right. It's really important to
model right.
those healthy behaviors for your wellness. Like, not only for yourself, but for your kids.
And that includes dental care.
Getting good dental
yeah.
care.
Yeah. Which is, like I said, I love the topic today. I thought it was really, it was just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good stuff. And we didn't get a chance to talk. Like, there were so many questions I had we didn't get a chance to get to. So we might have to have one of these days. Maybe
I think
we'll
we
get,
should.
Yeah,
we'll
maybe
we'll
get it back
again.
On again. Because, you know, I got some of the answers, but I wanted to talk about, you know, like, kids with bottles in their mouth, or just different things that we've done to our teeth,
yeah. cavities,
playing sports, damage to teeth when young, and all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll do it again sometime. As always, it is great to see you, Dr. Florence. You're like my co-host sometimes. It's unbelievable. Another good show today, everybody. I thank you so much for listening. Next week, we're going to have on Amber Olson. She's a supervisor of the Behavioral Health Consultant Program at Memorial Behavioral Health. And then that is next week on the 20th. 27th, topic's going to be 7 ways to fuel your kid's brain. We'll be talking about that. So great episodes coming up. It's Ask the Expert. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Dr. Nicole Florence for being on the show. And I'll talk to you next week, everyone.
This has been Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX, brought to you by Memorial Health System. For more information about Memorial Health System, visit choosememorial.org and join us every Tuesday at 3 for Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX.